Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. It's before Psalms. It's after Chronicles. It's after Ezra. Nehemiah. All right. So, I want to talk to you about defeating discouragement. How many are alive enough to know that discouragement, if you live long enough, you can get discouraged over something? How many want to raise their hand and say, yep, that's true, Pastor? Okay. But there is a way for us to defeat discouragement. I want to talk to you about it today. Because if you don't understand that you have an enemy, if you don't understand he's against you, if you don't understand what's going on, I'm telling you what, the Bible says that Satan roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't know what's going on, then you open up yourself to be one of those who are going to be devoured. Now, you don't have to get devoured. The Bible says, my children die for a lack of knowledge. And then later on it says, the second part is that, and then they also die because they reject knowledge that I have. They reject the knowledge that I'm giving them. So you're real smart because you came tonight, amen. Say, I'm real smart. But you have to be smart not only to be here, but then you have to be smart to receive the knowledge that God has for you. How many know just because you go to a gas station doesn't mean that you have to get any gas there? You can go to grocery store and not buy anything. Right? You can go to a bakery and not buy any donuts. Amen? Right? Somebody said no. Well, that's... Listen to me. And you can come to church and hear with your ears, but not hear with your heart. There's not a real receptivity. And so that's why the Bible says, my children die from a lack of knowledge, and then they get knowledge, but they reject the knowledge that I give them. Or that's why the Bible says that Satan roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. Because there's people who understand what he's doing, and he comes up to them and says, you know what, ooh, I'm going to take this. And you go, no, you're not. No, you're not. And you're telling him he may not. There's people who can, you know what, it happens all the time. You know, somebody comes over, breaks in your house, you know what, and you're in your bed and you hear them. You're like, oh, I'm going to stay in my bed because I don't want them to get me. And the whole time they're taking your flat screen outside, you know what I mean? They're taking your jewelry. They're taking all that. And you're in bed going, the same burglar goes to somebody else's house and he goes to take their flat screen and all of a sudden he hears, you know, and ch-ch. Oh, there it is. That's it, Pastor. Yeah. Well, when he hears that, you know what, what do you think? Do you think he goes, ooh, man, I really want this flat screen. You think he says that? No, he says, exactly, I'm out of here, man. Here's what he says. You can keep your flat screen. I'm leaving. What's the difference in the two? You know what? That person, that gun is the difference. Some of you don't know to say amen to that, but the answer is amen anyway. I'm just saying. Because that gun, and what does that gun represent? That gun represents the authority that this is my house. And you don't have any right in my house. Okay. So we have to understand that where discouragement comes from. And we have to recognize it, and we can't embrace it. We can't allow ourselves to look at the circumstances, look what's going on. Oh, well, this is, you know what? Well, this is, you know. I've told you this before. Someone comes up to me, you know what? And it's 10 minutes before the service. And I say, oh, Pastor, where is everybody? And how do I respond to that? I'm like, I'm here. Right? I'm here. And they're coming. From the north, south, east, west, hundreds and thousands. They're coming. And you're here tonight, right? How many were here 10 minutes? How many weren't here 10 minutes before the service? Okay? You weren't here. And I didn't go, no, because I walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Does this make sense? But you can allow circumstances to dictate to your life and get you all frazzled and concerned and worried. Worry is faith in the wrong thing. Worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. It's faith in the wrong thing. All right, are you learning something already? So I want to talk today about the defeating discouragement. Because if you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, you have to be premeditated. You have to have a plan, and you have to execute your plan, and you have to know your plan, and you need to know the plan of the enemy. You know the plan of the enemy, then you know what? He comes and he does something. You're like, oh, I knew he was going to do that. Hello? See, many times words of knowledge are so critical for people in the body of Christ, for leadership, because when it happens, you've already been told by God that's going to happen, and it doesn't worry you, it doesn't upset you, it doesn't frazzle you. Hello? So we have to have a plan, and we have to stick to that plan. And Nehemiah was able to fulfill what God called him to do because he had a plan, and he understood that discouragement would come, and he was ready for it, and I want to talk to you about that today. This is such a critical, you know what, every message in this series is so helpful, you know what, to you and to us in our daily life, and this will be the same. It will be so helpful. So number one, understand this. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Oh, that's so funny. He always says that. No, well, I always say that because I always want you to do it. Amen? So why? Here's why. Because you remember more what you write down. And we've got to remember this stuff. So I encourage you to write it down. Number one, whenever you move forward for God, your enemy will oppose you. Whenever you move forward, see, it's like this. There is the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness has territories. It has control. Not control in that Satan has any or demons have any control, but because men have turned away from God and turned towards themselves, they now are influenced by the demonic. And as they're influenced by the demonic, it allows the kingdom of darkness to invade this earth. Well, why is there, if God's so loving, then how come there's kids dying of hunger? That's easy. Because there are years and years and years and years and years and years and years of people, listen to me, because you're going to learn something here, of people who are leading these countries who have implemented ungodly principles in their country. And the Bible says when the wicked are in charge, the people suffer. There is a cause and effect of ungodliness in your life, and there's a cause and effect of ungodliness in countries that have had years and years and years of leadership who have turned on God and continue to move forward the kingdom of darkness. You say, but Pastor, that's not fair. Well, do you recognize you don't live in a bubble? Hello? How many recognize you don't live in a bubble? I'm a good driver. I'm a good driver. Maybe you're a good driver. Or maybe you're a bad driver. And your bad drivingness has affected somebody next to you that was a good driver. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, people influence other people, and that creates a whole mess on this earth. And it's so ironic because then we as mankind then blame God for all this ungodliness that is taking place in our world and in nations of the world and in governments of the world, and we see their chaos filtrating down to the people. And we go, man, what is God? I thought he was a God of love. He is. But as mankind turns their back on God and his ways, then you start to reap that. And Nehemiah is recognizing that what he has to do is he has to take this situation that is far from perfect and to start to affect that territory towards the goodness of God. See, listen to me. I'm just telling you, I love this series. Because let me tell you what, every single one of you, I don't care how old you are, I don't care where you're at. Every single one of you has an ability, has an opportunity to be a great leader and a great influencer in your circle of influence. And part of the enemy's device, part of the enemy's attack is for you to think that, oh, you're not just anyone. You were put in a certain position to influence people around you to be great and to do great exploits on this place, on this world. Let me tell you, one of the greatest exploits that you do is to raise your children to love Jesus Christ. I can get a bigger amen than that. One of the biggest, the most important things you do is raise your children to influence, to serve and love Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And listen, and ultimately it will be their choice, but you can point them in the right direction. Amen. Amen. And as you point them in the right direction, you will have an influence to their kids and their kids and their kids. So you've got a great opportunity. And not only a great opportunity, you have a great responsibility. Too much is given, much is required. So number one, understand this. Whenever you move forward for God, your enemy will oppose you. You have an enemy. He has a decision that he's made. He's got a motto. I come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his motto. And so when you come into an area of his influence, he don't like it. When you start to, you know what? I learned recently there's a school district that, you know what, that these kids, they just go up to the nurse in junior high. Imagine this. They just go up to the nurse and say, hey, I'm just depressed. And the nurse has the authority, you know what, to give them drugs. Yes. For a fact. Hey, guys, we don't live in Kansas anymore. And just because you don't know it doesn't mean it's not happening, number one. And number two, you're the enemy. They don't want you to know what's happening in the schools. And you start to stand up and say, hey, man, I don't like this. This is not right. Then guess what? Satan doesn't just lie down and go, oh, okay, all right. No, he wants these kids on drugs. He wants to hook them on drugs. You know what? The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but you know what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Alcohol is a, you know what? Is a phony substitution for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. You know what? Drinking sometimes. All right. All right. You know how many people? Do you know? You know how many people have thought that? And they have serious problem with alcohol now. So many people. We just are so cavalier with stuff that we think, man, the Bible says, don't give any room to the devil. Amen. So what I'm saying is, you go in that situation and you think there's going to be no ramifications. No, no, no. You know what? When you start to stand up for the things of God and start taking authority, start taking your authority back, I'm telling you what, you know, this is an adage, but you know what I mean? You ever heard this? All hell's going to break loose. You ever heard that? Well, that happens. Because there's a demonic force that just doesn't let you take over. Now, you can take over, but there will be opposition to you. Oh, Pastor, this don't sound like a good sermon. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's not if you just want to go home and eat a Cheeto and watch I Love Lucy. No, really. You know what? One of the points, you know, guys, flow with me in the back. I love this. Nahum chapter 4. You know what? Chapter 4. Look at verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. They weren't done with it. But listen, I love this part. Look at this. For the people had the mind to work. We got to have a mind to build the kingdom of God, and we've got to understand that that is going to require us to be determined to not be affected as Satan tries to scare us, intimidate us, and lie to us that we can't be effective. Amen. All right. So understand that, number one. You're going to have some pushback. You just have to recognize, you know what? You have the bazooka. They have the pea shooter. Amen. All right. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only the reason he's there. You know what? 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look at this. Start. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. There's got to be this intentionality to your life. And listen, and the intentionality, you've got to understand that we are walking in a spiritual realm. And so you've got to, one of the reasons I encourage every single one of you to get your heavenly language. You know what? Speak in tongues. I don't believe in that. Well, I don't know what you do with that, because every single author in the New Testament spoke in tongues. No, but somebody told me that passed away. Well, that someone was wrong, amen? And that same someone that told you it passed away can't show you, and we got to qualify what people say, amen? Just because they tell you something, that doesn't mean you have to believe it. Yeah, but they told me that passed away. Yeah, and did you ask them, can you show me in the Bible where that passed away? Because let me tell you what, they cannot show you where it passed away in the Bible.
I'm leaving this church. I didn't know Pastor Drew spoke in tongues. I'm leaving this church.
Let me tell you what, I speak in tongues every day. Why? Because when I speak in tongues, I pray perfectly to the Father. And the Bible says I build myself up. Man, I can't imagine not speaking in tongues. The Bible says if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. Amen? So when I allow, you know what, my spirit to speak through me, he's using my tongue, and that is a good position for me to be in. Amen. Amen. But I've got to be sober. I've got to be vigilant. I've got to recognize there is an attack towards me, towards my family, towards this church. You know what? I've got to, not fearful, but aware. How many know there's a difference? Not fearful. Ooh, I got so scared. Pastor said the enemy is going to get me. That's not what he said. What I said is, you got to recognize you have the bazooka, he has the pea shooter. Look, don't walk out of here in fear. The Bible says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He ain't a roaring lion. The Bible says in Revelation, they're going to look at him and say, this is the worm that deceived the nations? They're going to be scratching their head and go, oh my goodness. Seeking whom? He's not a lion. He's acting like a lion. Amen. We had this dog when I was little. And this dog would bark and bark and bark and bark. That's all, just a little dog about this big. It just bark and bark. That's all she would do, is just bark and bark and bark. And so one day, she got out, and there was this, must have been a 14-year-old kid. And he was walking, and I would just, he said, well, why didn't you do anything about it? I don't know. I just was observing this today, but it was so funny. Because he was walking, and he walked, and he's looking at this dog, and this dog is this far from him. Just barking, barking, barking. And then he'd go like this, and the dog would go like this. And the dog wouldn't do anything. And then as soon as he turned around, she'd start barking again. and he'd take about four more steps, and it'd go like that, and then that dog would go like this. Well, I watched this him do it about three or four times, and then finally he went like this, and he started going like this. And that dog started running. You know what? And then he stopped, and then that dog stopped, turned around, started barking at him again. He was like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? So he's just walking. He knows that, you know, he's just walking, walking. He walks all the way up the walk. Must have been 50 feet at least, 50 feet. And that dog the whole time barking at him, all 50 feet. And then finally, I don't know, this kid was funny. All of a sudden, this kid turned around, and he had it. And he started running after our little dog. I mean, just running after him. And that dog was running, true story, and that dog was running, and about halfway, that dog turned around and started barking at him, and she running like this. True story. Here's all I'm saying. You know what? Don't listen. He is seeking whom he may devour. And if you would get it in your mind and recognize he's got no authority, he's not a lion, he's acting like a roaring lion. You know what? I mean, if you looked at what that little dog imagined itself to be, you know, that dog imagined itself, oh, I'm some ferocious, you'd see some ferocious lion. But it wasn't a ferocious lion. Just a little, I mean, that 14-year-old really could have turned around and just kicked the dog like a football. Some of you dog lovers freaked out right now. But how many know that could have happened? Well, that dog wouldn't have had no authority, no power. Amen. So don't misunderstand. Don't walk around. Don't leave here discouraged. No, 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 no. You have the authority. But don't, what I'm saying is, recognize, don't be intimidated with this barking. Right? All right. Number two, we don't face opposition because we are doing something wrong. We face opposition because we are doing something right. Now, I'm not saying that we haven't gotten ourselves in trouble making bad choices. How many know bad choices, you're going to have a bad life? But what I'm saying is, many times people are going to question, people are going to think, oh, what am I doing wrong? Because there's this adversarial attack on you. And many times, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just the opposite. What you're doing is right. And that is what is causing. Now listen, the thought then can be, well, I better stop doing this. No, don't grow weary in doing good. Here's the point. Don't allow Satan to intimidate you. Right? Don't stop doing what's right. Don't let Satan intimidate you. If you won't faint, you're going to reap a good harvest. Okay, so there's two main ways the enemy is going to bring discouragement to you. Number one, he's going to bring discouragement. Actually, give me one second. I want to see something. Guys, go in the back. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to Satan's devices. Remember I said at the beginning that My children die from a lack of knowledge. This is so important that you hear this message, because Satan will take advantage of your ignorance. Amen. So has anybody ever been speeding? You're speeding. You're not on the freeway. You're speeding somewhere. The cop pulls you over, and then you say to the cop, "You know what, officer? I'm sorry. I didn't even know. You know, 45. You know, I was going 55. I didn't know it was 45." Do you ever see that cop just throw his hands up in the air and go, "Oh, I didn't know you didn't know. So don't worry about it, man. I'm just let me just go back in my, you know, a police car, and you know what? Well, now you know. You know, praise the Lord. Now you know. I'm glad, see, because what I'm here to do, I'm here to just tell everybody what the speed limit is." You ever had a cop do that? No. He's like, "Okay, well, now you know. Could you sign this ticket?" Right? See, right? Your ignorance is going to help you. So Paul says, least Satan should take advantage of us. Remember we read, be sober-minded, vigilant. You got to be studied up to understand how he works so you can not be fazed with what happens. Amen? See, I don't know, that 14-year-old, that kid, you know what? There'd be some people be completely intimidated by that little dog that we had. Well, I'd known the whole time. That dog had never bitten anybody. That dog was scared of its shadow. But see, I knew that. Now, why that 14-year-old just, you know what, had the, you know, gumption to run him down, I don't know. But you know, how many know some people would be completely scared of that dog? And that dog wasn't going to bite nobody. Never had ever in his life done a lot of barking, right? Watch this. Least Satan should take advantage of us, but he says, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, Paul's saying, hey, the group that we're with, we don't allow him to intimidate us. We understand who he is. We're not going to be intimidated by him. Okay, so two things real quick, real simple. Two ways that he affects us. One, two ways that our enemy will try to discourage. Two ways that Satan can try to discourage you. One, externally. Externally. Go back to Nehemiah. Chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And look at... look at verses 1 through 3. So it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. This guy was mad. This guy was an outside force. And he spoke before the brethren in the army of Samaria and said, listen how he speaks. What are these feeble Jews doing? Listen, Satan will call you names. He'll intimidate you. Here's what he's going to say to you. He's going to say, listen, you're feeble. You're weak. You're too old. You're too ignorant. You don't have your education. You know what? You came from this background. You used to be addicted to pornography. You used to be on crack. You used to be on drugs. You know what? You know what? You beat up your little sister. You know what I mean? All this stuff, he's going to come up, whatever he comes up, he's going to call you feeble, because that's what he does. He uses intimidation. He uses imagery. Words create pictures. He's going to try to create a picture. No, you can't own your own business. You already tried. You tried three businesses before. And he's going to give you this imagery of the last day that you closed down that business and it never was profitable. He say, see, you're just going to do it again. And the same result, he will use anything that he can. It doesn't have to make any sense. It doesn't have to be sensical. Many times, listen to me, these thoughts are emotional thoughts. Can I be honest with somebody? I would say most of these thoughts, because let me tell you about Satan. Satan fights. He loves to pick on old people and young people. And when I say young people, listen, I just know what I'm talking about. When I say this, just give me your best poker face right now. But I already know it's true. Many things that you are wrestling with are things that happened to you before you were 8 years old. They just are. And they create this imagery of failure that Satan plays right into this. You know what? Let me tell you about you. Hey, you Jews, you're feeble. You can't do this. You're not able. Amen. And he'll do the same to you. You know what? He don't care. You know what? He'll discredit, you know what, your heritage, your race, your age, your whatever. He don't care. You know that song, you know what? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. Well, Satan has a little song. You know what? Satan hates all the people of the world, red and yellow, black and white. He hates them every day. That doesn't rhyme, I know, but it's the truth. Amen. He hates you. He hates your heritage. He hates where you came from. He hates, you know what? He hates everything about you. The main thing he hates about you is you're created in the image of God and you have the authority on this earth. Why? Everybody stick out their tongue at me. Everybody stick out your tongue at me. Say, here's why. That's why. That is why. Because death and life are the power of the tongue, and he's given you that power to take the authority in your home, in your church, in your business, in your marriage. Amen. I mean, you wake up, and he's like, oh, no, they're awake again. You wake up, you're like, I'm awake. And you shouldn't have that attitude. You know what I mean? Amen. Are you learning something? Do you see what he does? You feeble Jews. So condescending. Feeble Jews. You know, what are these feeble Jews doing? Condescending. Belittling. Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are buried? See the picture he paints? You know, see the picture he paints? You guys can't do this. They're bare. You can't. You know what? You guys, you're married. Your marriage has been dysfunctional since the day. You never should have married her. I mean, your marriage has not only never been good. What were you thinking? Right? I'm just telling you what I'm just telling you. I know. Why? Because I'm not ignorant to the devil's devices. And you start backing up and you start retreating. And you start, I guess he's right. I guess I married the wrong person. If I just would have married, you know what, somebody else, then that would have been better. No, that wouldn't have been no better. You've just been deceived. You know what? Amen. I like to say this. If you're on your first marriage, stay there. Amen. Amen. You know what? If you're on number two, that's the one for you. Amen. Right? Number three,
let it be.
Number four,
no more, man, no more.
Amen. Okay, you can quote me on that if you. Amen. Number five, I won't even go there, okay? I'm just saying, it's just a lie. It's just a lie. It's just you trying to discourage you, trying to get you discouraged, trying to make you think, oh, no, I'm not talking about your wife, but in the course of time, or your husband, but in the course of time, you made a lot of goofball decisions. So what? Like, you made a goofball decision, and God said, oh, no, now we're really in trouble. Right? No. Well, that's not how it works. God redeems your life from destruction. God redeems all the dumb things that you did, and me too. We don't need to sit there and live our life of regret. Well, we just need to move on, amen? God is, that's what he's into, restoring you. He doesn't even remember your sin. And think about it. And what in the world did Jesus Christ die on the cross for? We act like God's blood isn't powerful. No, it's so powerful it washed away all your sins. So let's move on. Even though, you know what, Satan is accusing us, telling us we can't. It'll never happen. You always have. Shutteth thou uppeth. Amen. They will complete. Well, you going to do this? No, yeah, he's mocking them. You know what? You're going to be able to pull up all those stones out of rubbish. Now, Torba and Antonite was beside him, and he said, whatever, verse 3, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone walls. Even a little fox, you know, a fox don't weigh very much. They're going to build all that, then a fox is going to get up there, this whole thing's going to crumble. You ain't going to do it. Your marriage ain't going to last. You ain't, you know, all this stuff. You know what? So understand, all this comes from outside. You're going to have all kinds of people telling you all kinds of stuff. You know, you need to just tell them, hey, it's kind of old, but it'll work. Hey, speak to the hand, Bucky. I know that's old school, but that's all right. You know what? You have to protect your heart without all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know what that means? Are the boundaries of what you're really going to be able to accomplish. And you're listening to people who don't know anything anyway. These people don't. That's not what happened. They're prophesying lies. But if you listen to that prophecy, if you listen to that lies, then you'll be discouraged. And it's coming from outside sources. And you've got to be smart to protect your heart with all diligence. Say, you know what? Hey, you know, some of you need to get rid of some of your closest friends that just are just tearing you down and pulling you down. And you know, some of you just need to, you know what? Some of you need to change the music you're listening to. You know what? Oh, we're preaching good tonight. I'm serious. Y'all know what happens when you play a country record backwards. You know what happens? You know what? The guy stops drinking, his wife and his dog come back. Right? You know that, right? Amen. Gets his truck back. Now, you know what I mean? Listen, and let me just say, it's not about, I'm not against country music. I'm not against any music. I'm against music that has words that you're putting in your mind, and it's going down your heart, and it's, you know what, you know, it's poisoning. It's a little leaven, thank you. Leaven's the whole loaf, you know what I mean? I'm
trying to think.
Give me a second. I forget the song, but John Cougar Mellencamp sang a song, and it was about, you know what, just give up. Your days are already, you know what, it's already over. It's already useless. I'll remember it in 30 seconds, and I'll sing it to you. Okay. And when I sing it to you, I like that song. Right, you will. Oh, I love that song. But it's listen, Satan, just like that witch, she puts the poison in a juicy apple. And you've got to have the discernment to say, and there's so much good Christian music now, you got no excuse to listen to this. Poison. Amen. I'll be driving home and it'll come to me. Okay. If I remembered before I step, I'll sing it to you. So the source comes from outside. These people come, but watch this. So discouragement, how does it come? It comes from people outside the body of Christ. But listen to me. It also comes from people inside. Now listen. This shouldn't be, but it is. Listen to me, I'm talking to every single person that can hear my voice. I'm speaking to somebody who's watching us through the through our Facebook. And I'm saying, listen, let no corrupt word proceed out of you, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Be kind to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. Man, don't talk trash about me. Don't talk trash about my mama. Don't talk trash about my wife. Don't talk trash about my kids. You know what? And don't talk trash about Peter. Amen. Did you get the list? Okay. And don't talk trash about you either. You know what? To quote my mama, if you can't say something nice, don't say it. That from our mouth should not come blessing and cursing. Please understand, if you're a leader, you know what? You're going to have people talk about you. But that talk, listen to me, church. That talk should be coming from the outside. It should not be coming from the inside. Because let me tell you what is more effective to me. Let me tell you, the one person that can discourage me quicker than anyone else. Do you know who it is? It's my wife. Listen, spouses. You know, if you're not, every single spouse, every single couple in this room, you ought to come Saturday, 9 o'clock. You ought to be here. I don't care. Rearrange your schedule. Be here Saturday at 9 o'clock. You're going to get some of the best. You need to invest in yourself. You need to invest in your children. You need to invest in your family. And don't think that you can, I'm too busy for that. Well, I'm telling you what, Satan, one of the main things that he is shooting at is your marriage. And we understand this. That's why we have this couples conference. We have someone speak to you. This guy is one of the most prolific, you know, outstanding educators in biblical understanding of marriage that I've ever heard in my life. And you have the opportunity together for us to show, take advantage of it. No, because I got to get my car washed. I got to get my car tuned. I got to get, you know what, I got to get my dog, you know what, needs to get his nails trimmed. Oh my goodness. No, what you need is you need to be here. Yeah, but my wife can't come. Well, then be a man and show up. I'm talking, man, I know this is a little hard. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm saying, understand, you got a calling. You got to lead your family. You show up. Amen. All right, that was all free. But show up to the couples conference. But the criticism should come only from the outside. It should never come from the inside. I love the fireproof, what was it, 40 days book. And I love, one of the best days was write everything wrong with your spouse. And then I love it because it was such a setup. And it's, and then the next day, you know what the thing was the next day? Take your list and burn it. Take your list and burn it. Listen, you want to be critical about somebody? Then look in the mirror. And even when you're critical about yourself, don't have a critical spirit. Ask God, God, show me that which I can improve in my life. But stop thinking that the Holy Spirit is showing you, you know what's wrong with your spouse, and it's your job to correct them. Because let me tell you what, that is a spirit, but that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many glad, still glad you came? See, the attack should be from the outside, shouldn't be from the inside. And Nehemiah started having some attack from the outside. Can I show you one more scripture? Can I show you one more scripture? I thank you for saying yes, because I know your time is valuable, but in the prayer time, in the worship time, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you need to show them this scripture. Yeah. It's in Hebrews chapter 13. Guys in the back, flow with me. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start with verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. You know what ought to be on your mouth? Not criticism, not complaint, but praise. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my husband. Thank God for my kids. Thank God for my pastors. Thank God for Pastor V. Thank God for Tony. Thank God for Isaac. Thank God for Chanel. Thank God for Ernie. Thank God for Isabel. Amen? Are you catching this? Thank God for Maria. See, we ought to just think, oh man, we got the best church in the world. I thank God. Yeah, but you know what? Tony has issues, and Ernie has issues, and we all got issues, right? If you don't have issues, stand up. That's what I thought, right? But so what? Amen? And we get used to thinking that we can just, you know what? No. We ought to continually be praising. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of your lips. That's what you ought to be talking about. That's what ought to be. It ought to be fruit. You know what? Just coming out. Praise fruit. Coming out of your lips all the time. Amen. Giving thanks to his name. But, verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Everybody say, do good and share. Watch this next verse. Obey. Whoa, Pastor. I'm just telling you the word. Obey those who rule over you. Well, nobody rules over me. That's the problem. You're out of control. Because God has placed people to rule over you, and you won't rule. You won't obey them. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Now, let me tell you who that includes. That includes Tamara and I. I'm going to sit before God and I'm going to give account over you. And in that day, I'm going to say, God, you told me right in that front row to turn to this scripture, and I did. And praise God, you know what? I'm believing tonight that people are going to receive it. Let them do so with joy and not grief. You know what that means? It means you ought to do it with happiness, not reluctantly. Pastor wants me to do this. No. Watch this. Watch what will happen. For that would be unprofitable, not for me, for you. See, the attacks that come to Tamar and I ought to come from the outside. They shouldn't ever come from the inside. And when they come from the inside, and listen, you say, yeah, but Pastor, man, you got so much imperfection in you. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. I didn't see anything about that in that passage of Scripture. I'll tell you right now. I'm not talking about stealing. I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm not talking about being high. I'm not talking about not being loyal to my wife. I'm not talking about beating my kid. I'm not talking about any of that. Number one, understand, I will not ask you to do anything that I am not doing. Number one. Number two, I won't ask you to do anything immoral. And number three, if you come over to my house, you will not see a big difference than what you see right here. It is what it is. Yeah, minus the shoes, that's right. Minus the shoes. It is what it is. And here's what I'm saying. And just understand that if you're looking for perfection, then the only one that is ever going to minister is Jesus Christ, because he's only the one perfect. My calling, we are not perfect pastors. But let me tell you what we are. We are sincere. And we're good stewards too. We are good stewards. So all I'm saying is, make sure, and you can understand this, because you know this just as well as I do, that the most hurtful thing that comes to you isn't, you know what, when the person at the grocery store, man, you know, you walk away and they go, man, what a geeky haircut that guy has on. You know, you don't turn around and go, oh, man, you don't like my hair. You don't say that. You know, I don't care. But if somebody in my family says that to me, that's a whole different story. And what we ought to do as the family of God is we ought to be kind to everyone, especially those in the household of faith. What's it saying? What's God saying? He's saying, here's what he's saying to us. Make sure, you know what, that we are building people up. And by the way, you know what? And by the way, don't be critical of the people outside the family of God either. Amen? Because we love them. We're not antagonistic towards them. All right, did you learn something? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is washing our minds. We are being cleansed through your word. We are renewing our mind according to your word. We thank you. Father, may this word have positive ramifications in this church for months and years to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.